You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. I hope and pray this finds you well. Hope it's been a great day and a fantastic week. If it hasn't been, though, if it hasn't been a great day, if it hasn't been a fantastic week, what I want you to know is that God sees you, God cares for you, God loves you, He is for you, not against you. But genuinely, I hope and pray this finds you well today. In today's episode, I sat down with a business leader, not a pastor, not a Christian author or Christian musician. I sat down with a business leader. And before I introduce them to you, I want to share this. One of the things that I regularly hear from my people that attend my church is it's some version of this statement. They'll say to me, Adam, I wish that I could be used by God. Or Adam, I wish that I could be in full-time ministry. Now, I first want to say there are people who are called to be pastors, people who are called to be worship leaders and musicians and Christian authors. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to talk with a pastor about that, to talk with someone about that, because gosh, we need more wonderful Jesus-loving pastors and worship leaders. So I don't want to belittle that part of things at all. Definitely encourage you to have those conversations. But for so many of the people, what I want to say is God can use you right where you are, right where you are. As a mechanic, God can use you in amazing ways, right where you are as a teacher, as a nurse, as a banker, as a business person, as a business leader. God can use you right where you are. And I've often told people that God actually can shine even brighter through you. As a pastor, people expect me to love Jesus. People expect me to be kind and friendly and loving and what other characteristics that people have for Christians. But people do not necessarily expect that from teachers, from doctors, from business leaders. And so, gosh, there's something about being a Jesus follower right where you are that God can do amazing things. One of my best friends is a realtor here in Sioux Falls, and I've told him, I said, you are a realtor, but honestly, deep down, you are a pastor. And he is just pastoring so many different people right where he is on his team, different people that are selling homes and buying homes through him. God is using him right where he is. And so I'm excited today to sit down with a business leader. I sat down with Emily Lay, and Emily started an amazing business called the Simplified Planner. It's possible that you've gotten one of her planners at Target. But I sat down with Emily, who's just a phenomenal person, phenomenal business leader. And I first off just heard her story. I asked her about her story. And then she shared some life wisdom from a Christian perspective. She loves Jesus. She's a Christ follower herself. And I look at books of the Bible like Proverbs. They just kind of share life wisdom. That is what you're going to get in this conversation. So she talks about her story. She talks about the importance of staying in your lane and doing what you're called to do, whether you're a business person, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, like just doing what God has uniquely called you to do. And she shares about how she tried to do something else business-wise that wasn't really her and how she needed to get back on track. We also talked about sometimes you need to say no to some good things so you can say yes to some great things. And that part of the conversation was by far my favorite part. She talks about failure, and then she talks about needing to end good things and eat in order to get to some great things. And so I know that you will be encouraged. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Emily, I'm so excited to sit down with you today. I want to welcome you to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well, just even to find out more about you. So your story, for the person who does not know you, give us the overview of who you are.
Okay, in a nutshell. Well, my name's Emily Lay, and I live in Pensacola, Florida, with my husband and our three kids. We have a 10-year-old, Brady, and 2 6-year-olds. Our twins are a boy girl, and they're 6 years old. And in 2008, I started a company called Simplified. And we make organizational tools and planners for busy women all over the world. We have licensed collections in Walmart and Target and a bunch of stores like that. And then I write books. So it's busy. I make planners for people like me who have a lot going on.
I feel like even though I'm not a woman, I need one of these planners. Just to tell, just honestly, my team, all the gals on our team, like, love your planners. How does something like that come about? Like, share that. Where does simplified planners come from?
Everything I do comes from my own struggles, I feel like. Every book I write is like a book I need to read.
Yes.
And the planners came from that. I mean, my son, so I started Simplified as like notepads and notebooks and stationery and stuff like that back in 2008. I had a master's degree and was climbing the corporate ladder, really miserable, wanted to do my own thing. And so I started that. Once it took off, I did it full time. But then all of a sudden, I had everything I ever wanted. I had my own business. I had our first child. It was just like everything was great. And I was just floundering, trying to keep my head above water, get dinner on the table, take care of this child and this business. And like, by the way, every other woman out there was doing it flawlessly. And I was the only one struggling. And so I went to Target because all the solutions in life are found in their aisles, right?
Oh my gosh. My wife did not hear that. Continue on.
Right? And so I was looking for like, I need a folder or like a trapper keeper or a planner or like something that would help me wrangle all the things. Because like, if everyone else can do it, then I can surely do it. I just need the right tool. And so I went and I looked and everything I found had like all these boxes to check and things to fill out and made me feel like more of a failure. And so I went home sad and put Brady down to for his nap. And I sketched out like, what if I could make my own planner? It would just literally be a thing where I could keep my schedule, my to-do list, what's for dinner, the end. And so I sketched it out and I made my own little thing in a binder. And it just, it really like, it made me feel better, made me feel like I had a bit of a fresh start. And so I just started making them and it just took off like crazy because every woman feels this way sometimes. And so, I mean, it's like, pinch me, but now I can go into Target and see the Simplified planner on the shelves of Target. So it's just wild. But yes, that it makes it different because it's really simple, but also, and this is, I could stand on a mountain and preach this, but the secret sauce for us is that I didn't ever want to just make a planner or sell office products because a whole lot of people do that. I wanted to make something that empowered women and educated them and connected them and helped them feel less lonely, less isolated, and better equipped to do the good things, the good work they were doing. And so we don't just make planners. We coach our customers through how to use them. We connect them with this really awesome community group. And it's really cool. I think that's been why we've been so successful, because women feel heard and seen with us.
Yeah, Emily, that's exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for the secret sauce in it. I'm like, there's something I'm missing, because it seems way too simple. Your new book, just out, Growing Boldly. Share the heartbeat of that. Where did it come from inside of you?
Oh my goodness. I'm so proud of this book. I had written three books previously, and I was really like itching to share this like fire that I feel, this grittiness about what it takes to build a life you love. And it doesn't have to look like entrepreneurship like it did for me. It can look like a family, a marriage, a ministry, whatever. But like, there's something in me. I may not be the most talented or smart person in the room, but I will outwork you. I 100% will outwork you. And so I know like there's this hustle it takes to build something, but there are a lot of books out there that will tell you that. There are not a lot of books out there that will talk to you about how important it is to embrace the seasons of work and of life, and that you have to counterbalance the work with the relentless pursuit of rest and nourishment. And so this book is about what it takes to embrace both of those things, and how if you ever pursue one without the other, you will absolutely fall on your face.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is something that connects to everybody. Just to kind of get into it, why do you think people settle instead of daring to build the life that you want to live? Like why do so many of us settle? And that maybe is an obvious question, but sometimes we just need to hear it.
You know, I think a lot of us feel stuck, especially after the last year we've been through. I mean, goodness, you should have seen my face when they said we're going to release this book after a pandemic. I don't know. Where are we? Okay, this is God's perfect timing for this, because so many of us in a normal life feel stuck sometimes, but especially after what we've been through. A lot of us are grieving. We feel lost. We feel stuck. We're just not sure where to begin. And so I wrote this book specifically for people who are in that spot where they're like, I want to do something. I don't know exactly what it is or what exactly my calling is. Maybe I do know exactly what it is, but I just need to know how to do it well, and where to move, where to plant my feet. The book has lots of inspirational stories from myself, but also from other women who have gone up against illness, tragedy, abuse, just horrible, hard things, and they're still thriving. And so we dig into a lot of that and also a lot of the tactics, because I love a good story, but at the end of the day, tell me how to do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that there's five main practices that you talk throughout the book.
Yeah.
Hop into those and even share a bit of your own story. And you mentioned simplified, but I know that's a part of it as well. Kind of jump into that, share practical, but also share a little bit of that story as well.
So I love a good structure as a planner maker. And I wanted the book to have like these bite-sized things that you could take away and remember. Because I think a lot of times we read books and we're like, well, that was nice. And then we put them away.
Yes.
And move on. But I wanted this book to not be like that. I wanted it, like our planners, to be like the tool that helped you kickstart something. And so I took the word build. So we break this word down into five key principles. It's an acronym. And so the B is believe in who you are and whose you are, all about self-discovery and figuring out who you are underneath all the hats you wear, all the things that make you tick, all the things you've been through, because none of that gets wasted. Understanding who you are in this moment in time, I think, is just so crucial. And then the U, so this is the second section, is utilize what you have. And we believe a lot of lies that the world tells us, that social media tells us about ourselves. And this is about uncovering those lies, naming them, replacing them with truth, and then realizing all of the resources and all of the support and opportunities and choices that we have all around us that sometimes we miss. Then the I is imagine the life you love or the life you want, because I think it's so important to know where you're headed so that you're able to make a plan on how you're going to get there. And you're able to break it down into things that are actionable, not just like this pie in the sky idea you have. And then the L is love people well. And this particular section was really important for me to have in the book, because I think it's so important for us to live up to our best potential in our own lives. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to the kingdom, to the world, to our communities, to bring others up with us and impact for good. And then the D is do what matters, forget the rest. And this is a motto that I have embraced in my own life for many, many years. And this is about, like, when you are in those places where you have a million things to do and everyone is calling your name and everything feels like it's most important, you have balls in the air, you have to choose the one ball that you cannot drop. And that may change day to day, but what is that? And what do you do with the rest of it? So these, the tactical things are built in at the end of every chapter, along with kind of a blessing or benediction that I write over you and hope that you'll take into account as you process what you've read.
Emily, this is beautiful. There's reading that I know is so engaging. And then there's the ability just to write and actually answer questions in what the material is talking about. And it genuinely is gorgeous. This copy right here, like, I am going to give this to my wife because it's amazing.
Oh,
and I think she'd love it. So I want to do that quick plug for you though. So those five steps, what does that look like in your own journey?
You know, I think I keep coming back to them over the years. I've been doing this almost 13 years now, which is crazy. Lately, even I have found when I find myself feeling stuck or feeling like really overwhelmed, which can happen when you're releasing a book into the world.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I find myself revisiting these principles and saying, like, okay, if I feel disconnected from myself, like, what am I doing to connect to who I am, to connect back to the core of my books, my writing, my company? Like, I started Simplified to have flexibility as a mom. That was it. It wasn't about being in Forbes magazine or making, you know, a zillion dollars, whatever it is. It was about it was about having the flexibility to go to the Halloween party at school if I could, you know? And so even now that we've built this huge company and we have 8 employees and all of that, like I still gut check myself when things feel out of balance, because it typically means that I've come disconnected from who I am.
I even felt that just looking through it myself, whether you're just beginning or you've been in your career, in your lane for a while. I think it's so, so helpful. You've mentioned this a couple of times, but I feel like as a pastor, the two groups of women that I run into is the woman who's trying to figure out how to balance work and family. Then it's maybe the gal who's a stay-at-home mom, like my wife, who feels like God has put something special in her, but she's not really sure where to start. Would you want to talk specifically kind of those two women and what your word of advice, encouragement, even maybe a challenge to both of them?
Yes, absolutely. And I think what's so interesting is I can relate so well to both of these groups of women because, and I think the connection here is kind of the point I want to make, that if you create a life that you love, it's not about just creating the job that you love or creating the family that you love or the home. It's about all the things serving each other.
Yeah.
And I dealt with a lot of mommy guilt. It is real. And it is because God put within me a heart for my children, my husband, our family. And he also put a heart within me for other women who love their people and their callings as well. And so when you build a life you love, you do it in a way that one does not serve the other, that they are like this circular thing that kind of helps each other. And I love to use this example about balance, because I think the stay-at-home mom is looking for this type of balance. And so is the, you know, woman who's working outside of her home or whatever it is. When we imagine, like, you're riding a bike, okay? And the way we stay upright, I just taught my 6-year-olds how to ride bikes. The way we stay upright is you don't lean too far to the left for too long or you're going to fall down. And you don't lean too far to the right because you're going to fall down. You got to keep shifting your weight from side to side to keep from face planting. And so balance is like that. I, right now, releasing a book, I'm leaning real hard to the left. I got a lot of things on my plate.
Yes.
And I know that season, like we learn in Ecclesiastes, that everything has a season. That season will be followed, has to be followed by a season of leaning to the right. And your seasons may look like minutes. It may look like 5 minutes got to go this way. Here, have an iPad. Or it might look 5 minutes over here, like shut down the email. But, you know, whether it's seasons or years or whatever it is, you have to balance one with the other wholeheartedly and unapologetically to keep face planting, you know? And so that would be my advice. Honor both of those seasons because they both matter. It's how we move forward. It's how we fulfill all that we're being called to do.
No, that is so good and so helpful as well. Emily, two questions that just I have to ask. You've had so many successes. Tell us about a failure or two that you've went through, and what you learned through that. For me, I learned so much through someone's failure, more than I ever do through their successes. And I know even the women in my own life, sometimes they don't feel like anybody else is failing. So if you'd be willing to share a failure or two and maybe what you learned through that.
How long do you have? Where do we start? You know, I had this conversation with my husband the other night. We were talking about our kids and, you know, their ages. They're starting to learn their independence. And I said to Brian, I said, you know, when I go to bed at night, I pray that God will let nothing bad happen to them, that they will have perfectly sunshine and rainbow lives and no one will hurt them or break their hearts and they will make no bad choices. And he was like, you do realize that, first of all, not possible. And second of all, like, The times that you've been shaped in your life are not your successes. They're not the happy days, the good days. It's the days where you've been tried, you have made a mistake and you have to fix it, or you have to grow, or you even have to sit in a season of grief, whatever it is. And so, yes, I have made many mistakes. You know, I've made mistakes that are just outright, like not good choices, we tried to make an app one time because everyone asked us to make a simplified planner app. And I thought, well, I mean, you know, we make paper planners that are super successful. And in the age of iCal, like, why not? Let's make an app. Cool. But like, I love a paper planner. And so by kind of straying outside of it to earn more revenue, and do what everybody else told me I should do, it was so hard. It cost me $30,000 and it was so difficult. It took so much of my time when I had baby twins and a 4-year-old. And eventually, every time iOS from Apple would update, we would have to rebuild the thing. It would break. And so I was spending so much time trying to make this thing that I didn't even want to use, but everyone told me they wanted it. Eventually, we had to shut it down and just say, we are paper planner people, and we're going to get back to that. We also, that was just a not smart decision, but we also said yes to something that was good. We went wholesale back in the early days, because that's what you did. If you wanted to grow a company, you went wholesale, you got in big stores, or actually smaller stores. And we were in 800 stores around the world, which sounds fantastic when someone's reading your bio, but felt like misery because I was on 48 airplanes that year. And we made the very calculated decision to shut down that side of our company and focus wholeheartedly on what we cared about, which was connecting directly to the customer and not the retail store owner. We wanted to connect directly to the women who were using our products. And we made a very calculated decision to shut down that. And we lost 40% of our revenue. And the next year, by focusing our attention back on why in the world we did this in the first place, we doubled our revenue.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a mistake to go big, but then at the same time, by saying no to that, I opened the door for the real thing to grow. And then a year later, I got an email from Akko, the company that invented the paperclip, who asked if we would like to partner with At a Glance and get the simplified products into big stores, not a ton of work on our plate, and like get more people, more customers into our community. And it was brilliant, but it took closing a door to allow that to happen.
Yeah, that right there is worth the price of this interview. Oh my gosh. I just have to ask though, when you shut that down, that feels, I could be wrong, that feels like a failure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And everybody around us was like, I mean, I remember my publisher being like, wait, hold on, wait, what are we doing? And then all the retail store owners, it's funny. I thought that they would be so mad at me. I thought they would be so upset because they loved carrying our line and they had supported us through the years and helped us grow. And not a single one was upset. I got so many emails from store owners who said, I admire you being brave and doing the right thing for your family. I wish I could do that.
Did you have to be convinced by your team to make that decision, or somebody else, a friend, or was that 100% you?
So the way it happened was that evening that we first started talking about it, we just took the twins in and my oldest son was kind of getting ready for bed. I walked into our bedroom and collapsed on the bed. My husband comes in and he was like, why are you crying? You just released your first book. The business is going amazing. You're doing it. Everything has happened. You love it. You were in Forbes magazine this year. Like, what is the deal? And I was like, I'm so unhappy. I feel like everything is like gotten so big and it's just not what I wanted to be. And he looked at me and said, you know what you got to do? And I was like, yeah, I know what I got to do. And it was like unsaid. And then our team, they were all like, yeah, we've been feeling the same way too. So everyone knew it. Everyone felt it. It was like this gut feeling we all had that if we made space and margin to bring about this side of our company about empowering our customers and educating them and being there for them, then it would grow. And it did. It just did.
Emily, that's incredible. Thanks for being willing to share that. And yeah. That is so helpful for anybody in leadership, but not even in leadership, someone who's got to make really hard decisions and it feels like a failure and you're only doing it to keep up the facade or whatever it is. A lot of times it's like the only reason I'm doing this is for my bio. It's not actually for what's best for my family, for our team, for whatever. And so, yeah. You're preaching at this Yahoo as we speak. Last question though, it can be connected to the book. It can be anything. What do you feel like God is currently teaching you in this season and the time that you're in right now?
I feel like every time I release a book, I live the story and then I write the story. And then I'm like, here, publishers, I'm done with this. I've mastered this. You can have it now. And then God draws me. He drags me back through it when it's coming out. It happens. At this point, I need to just put it on my calendar that this is going to be a tough season. But
yeah,
he does every single time I have to go through it again. And so I am learning in this season that growing boldly doesn't always look like big things. Sometimes it looks like making the small decisions that shape who you are. And doing things to take care of yourself, doing things just inside the walls of your home that no one sees. You know, I do feel like God's calling me to nurture, to continue kind of nurturing this home and our family with the pandemic and all that we've been through. I want to be able to like shepherd our kids in a really special way as we kind of emerge back into the world. My calendar is suddenly really full with like things we haven't done in a year. And so yes. I don't want to go into that like guns blazing and go, you know, overwhelmed again. I want to make really smart decisions in the big and the little ways for our family. Yeah. And so I feel like that's where it's just kind of like what we're focusing on over here.
I think that's for everybody as kind of normal. Normal is not returning, but as right. When normal comes back, like all of us have the ability in so many areas. There's maybe a few things we don't have the ability, total control over, but we have the ability to decide what am I going to put back? Like what am I going to leave behind from the craziness we used to live by? And what am I going to implement? And I just think that's so important. Emily, yeah. Again, a huge honor to sit down with you. Where can people find more about you, books, all that kind of thing?
All the things. Everything's at emilylay.com. It's L-E-Y. And then on Instagram at emilylay and also at Simplified. And then we just actually released our own podcast. So I am learning all the things, but it's called the Simplified Podcast. And you can hear that all the places.
Excellent. And we'll have links to all of that in the show notes. Emily, again, just huge thanks to you. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. This is so fun. Thank you.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.